Praise our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our Lord has an economy.
Amen.
Our Lord has a plan.
Amen.
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 It's to head up the whole universe through the church in Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the head over all things to the church.
Amen.
So this is the Lord's plan. And He does it by a pleasant dispensing of Himself into us.
Amen.
So tonight we're just going to see some detail about the Lord's plan, which we also refer to as God's economy.
Amen.
And how He accomplishes this plan by dispensing Himself into us.
Amen.
So, through the calling on the Lord, we gain the dispensing.
Amen.
And the dispensing heads us up in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read the main title of this series of messages for the evening line. Together. The revelation of the mystery, the economy of God in Ephesians. Amen. Again, the revelation of the mystery, the economy of God in Ephesians. And then the title for tonight's message specifically, God's economy to head up all things in Christ through the church. Okay, sisters, read that.
God's economy to head up all things in Christ through the church.
Amen. Brothers.
God's economy to head up all things in Christ through the church.
Amen. So this is God's economy. This is His plan. And we'll spend some time tonight fellowshipping specifically about the meaning of the word economy, the Greek meaning, and why we choose economy rather than plan that a lot of versions choose. We'll also talk a lot about the word dispense, because the Lord wants to dispense Himself into us to gain His bride, to gain what He's doing on the earth today.
Amen.
Amen. So one of the interesting things about Ephesians is it was written from the viewpoint of God's eternal purpose. It was written from a high view, from God's eternal purpose. It was written from eternity and from the heavenlies. There's nothing earthly about the book of Ephesians.
Amen.
It was written from God's eternal purpose. This is His heart's desire. From eternity, it's something the Lord had in His heart in eternity past.
Amen.
He didn't just at some point in time think, you know, maybe I want to do this or I want to do that. He had this in His heart in eternity past.
Amen.
And it's from the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Not from earth. Amen. So, Read the title of the banner up there.
The revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
Amen.
The revelation of the mystery. You know, in the universe, there's a mystery. In fact, there's a few mysteries. One, God is a mystery. How many people out there today know God or can explain God? So God is a mystery. Then what is in His heart is also a mystery. It's you know, the people don't know what's on God's heart. But we're here this week, the Lord's revealing to us what is on God's heart.
Amen.
And then what is God's purpose for man? That's a mystery. People don't know. But, you know, they don't know what is God's purpose for man. You know, two big questions. What is the purpose of my life? And why did God allow these things to happen? Two big questions that are mysteries to man. But the revelation of the mystery, these are things were revealed to Paul.
Amen.
In Ephesians, and in actually all the books in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament as well. They've all become very, very clear in the Lord's ministry. So, but how was this mystery made known? What organ did Paul have to use to know this mystery?
Spirit.
A little louder, please.
Spirit.
Amen. Paul had to use his spirit to know this mystery.
Amen.
We don't get revelation unless we're in the spirit. So we need to be those, you know, we've had fellowship already, a good bit of fellowship today about our spirit and about the revelation of the mystery. And so we need to be those day by day exercising our spirit in to get to be in the revelation of the mystery, that this revelation would be opened up to us. And so our brother Dave this morning gave us some good examples of what it's like to be unveiled. And we need to be those day by day that are unveiled. Because there are many veils. Our concepts veil us in many ways. Our concepts of what human life is all about, our concepts of religion, our concepts of that are being poured into us in school all the time. Do you ever have concepts poured into you that eventually sometimes become a veil? Yeah, yeah. The academia today really has one goal in mind, and that's to destroy the Christian faith with all the isms, right, all the different types of isms. They want to confuse and destroy the Christian faith. And so that's why we need constantly to be in the revelation of the mystery, to be in the Word, that the Word and the Lord in us would constantly be unveiled. And the veils would be stripped off of us so that we could see who the Lord is, see what His purpose is. Because it's the vision that keeps us going. You don't necessarily wake up every morning jumping out of bed shouting hallelujah, do you? No, it's a rare morning, isn't it? It's a rare morning. But we have a vision. The vision says, touch me in morning revival. Amen. So we get up according to our vision and touch the Lord in morning revival. Amen. That's our vision. And then once we touch the Lord, then the rest of that vision gets ignited. Oh yes, the church, the brothers and sisters. I need to be attached to the saints. I need to love the Lord. I need to call my companion. All of a sudden, these things get revived in us. But it's that first little bit in the morning when we touch the Lord, because we have a vision that tells us, I need to touch the Lord in the morning. And we have a vision that tells us, it's 11 o'clock, I better get to bed. Does that vision control us during our college years? It should. We should have a vision that says, I need to get to bed early at night, so I can get up early in the morning. So we really need to consider before the Lord. Lord, give me a vision of how I need to touch You. Amen. To touch You, to be in the center of Your economy. In the middle of what You're doing on the earth today. So we need this vision, because this vision affects our daily life. So we need a vision to get to bed early. A vision to get up early. So all these matters of God's economy that are being unveiled to us can be real in our living. If we day by day get up and don't touch the Lord, we lose the vision we've gotten. It becomes dull. It just becomes dull, and life becomes dull if it's not sharpened. So it's being in the Word and being in day by day that sharpens our vision, sharpens all the aspects of God's eternal economy, God's eternal purpose that we have seen. So we need to be those who pray. Lord, remove my veils. Amen. Lord, give me spiritual sight. Amen. Lord, be the spiritual sight in my being. Amen. Day by day, we need to pray for the spiritual sight. Because I tell you, we're being bombarded all day long by things that are contrary to the spiritual sight. From the news, from the lecturers on the college campuses, from friends that we know in the world, so many things distract us and disrupt us. All the matters of video games and all the other things that go on, anime and manga, and all the other things that can trap us and keep us from loving the Lord. You know, those things, the Lord needs to shine on those things. They destroy our humanity. They destroy our spirit. If you find yourself coming to the Lord's Day morning meeting dead, and you spend up half the night on the computer doing nonsense stuff, you're not going to be full of life in the morning. You won't bring life into the meeting. We need to be those bringing life to the Lord's Day morning meeting. We need to bring life to the prayer meeting. We need to bring life to our partners. Hallelujah. So the Lord needs to shine on these things that distract us. Not only distract us, damage us, and kill our spirit. If you've been at the computer for a little while doing who knows what, and you realize your spirit's dead, cry out, Lord, save me!
Amen.
For Lord, we need to be saved. And our roommates, our housemates that we are with who love the Lord, we need to help one another. We need to help one another not be involved in these things that are distractions and worse and damaging. That we would be those full of life, supplying life to the saints.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read Roman number 1. According to his good pleasure, the triune God has an eternal economy to dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people, make them his he is in life and nature, to make them his duplication, that they may express him. Amen. So the Lord has a good pleasure. Realize that? There's something that makes God happy. He has a good pleasure. And his good pleasure is in his eternal economy. To dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people.
Amen.
So his good pleasure is to dispense himself into us.
Amen.
That's what the Lord's good pleasure is. That's what the Lord's burden is. That makes him happy. To make us the same as he is in life and nature. And let's look at I'm going to read Ephesians 1:10 again. We've read it a number of times, but unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. So notice the word economy is in there. The economy of the fullness of the times. In Ephesians 3:9, to enlighten all, that they may see what is the economy of the mystery, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So this word economy, we'll spend a little bit of time on it in a few minutes, is something that is very important in the Word. And the economy, really, the word really, one interpretation or meaning of the word is to dispense. The oikonomia, meaning as a household law, meaning it's a law of the household. In Paul's time, the master of the house, the owner of the house, had servants, and those servants dispensed the riches of the house. So the word really means house law, or the administration of the house. So that's what the word economy means. It also is related to the word pastor. So it's related to food. So the word economy, in one sense, means the food is being distributed. Now, let's compare that for a minute to the economy of the U.S. The U.S. has an economy. And what's the purpose of that economy? To distribute the riches of the United States to its participants, to its the persons who live here. That's the economy of the United States. It's in dollars and cents, and people get PhDs in it and do all kinds of write all kinds of theories about it. But eventually, it's going to collapse. Eventually, it will not continue into the next age. But the point is, the economy of the United States is how the riches of the United States are dispensed to the people of the United States. So God's economy is how the riches of the triune God are dispensed into his people.
Amen.
So do you want the riches of the triune God dispensed into you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, that's God's economy. He has an economy today, a plan to dispense his riches into us.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
So he's not just up there in the heavens. He's not an objective God to us. He is a subjective God that can dispense himself and desires to dispense himself into man for his eternal purpose, because he wants to make us the same as he is in life and nature. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Let's read these two verses. Verse 5 first. Predestinated us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we're being predestinated unto sonship. So, my son has the same life as I do. Hallelujah! Amen. So, if we're God's sons, we have the same life as God does. Amen. So, we're the same as God in life. We're his sons. The Bible, in many places, calls us his sons. The Lord, on the day of resurrection, said, go to my brothers. Right? Go to my brothers. In other words, at that point, they had the same life as he did. So we have the same life as the Lord.
Amen.
Then, verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Amen. So, I got the wrong verse there. No, it's there. There it is. Okay, sorry. Holy and without blemish. Holy is God's nature. Holy is the nature of God. So we're the same in life and nature. Again, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love. So we're the same. God's goal is to dispense himself, his nature, his life into us, that we would be the same as he is in life and nature. So we have the same life as God, the same nature, his holy nature. And eventually that means we'll be his expression. We'll be able to express him because we will be his duplication. His duplication to express him. Now, there's one very careful thing we need to say. We're the same as God in life and nature, but we will never be God. Hallelujah. We will not be God. We just have the life and nature of God. You know, my son has my life and nature, but he'll never be me.
Right?
But he has my life and nature.
Amen.
So, we have the life and nature of God. We will never be God. But we have his life and nature because we're his sons. We can express him, and his glory permeates us and is dispensed into us. So, this is what's God's heart's desire. This is what makes God happy. To dispense himself as his life and nature into mankind.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen, Lord. So we thank the Lord that he has such a marvelous, marvelous plan. And of course, we're life and nature, but only up to a certain degree. We can't say his life and nature has fully permeated us, can we? No. But it's going, it's getting there. It's growing, it's spreading. Eventually, yes, his life and nature will thoroughly permeate us in the next age. But this age, what he's doing is spreading gradually and gradually. Every time you call, oh Lord Jesus, every time you turn away from whatever is troubling you or tempting you, and call, oh Lord Jesus, a little more spreading, a little more dispensing, a little more of the Lord's life has permeated, a little more glory, a little more of his nature has permeated into us. So we're the same as God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. And as the verse in 1 Corinthians 3, we're just going from glory to glory. Every time you call on the Lord, that's a little bit of glory. Let's call on the Lord three times. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. We just got a little bit more glory.
Amen.
You know, the singing tonight was full of the Lord's presence. Full of joy, full of his glory. Amen. So let's read point A together. From eternity past, our living, loving, and purposeful God has had a good pleasure. Amen. So, in Ephesians 1:5, predestinated us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. In verse 9, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. So God has a good pleasure. He's a purposeful God with a good pleasure. And sometimes we wonder, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. And that means of the whole of fallen mankind is what really this verse is talking about. But God loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. Now, why did He love the world so much? Was it just to save us from hell? No. Because of His good pleasure. He had a good pleasure, which was that man would express Him. That man would be His representation on the earth. That man would be dispensed into. So man would become God's vessel. A vessel to contain God on the earth and express God. That's the Lord's good pleasure. And this is what pleases Him. Our God has a purpose to get that which pleases Him. He is pleased when man expresses Him. So when we call on the Lord, He is pleased.
Amen.
So salvation, redemption, initial salvation, regeneration is just the start. The Lord loves us. He wants to regenerate us. That's the start. That's the beginning of us running after the Lord. Continuing to be dispensed into day by day. So He wants to fulfill His purpose in us all the time.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. So let's go on to B. God's good pleasure, His heart's desire, is to have many sons who are the reproduction of His firstborn Son for the corporate expression of the triune God in Christ through the church, the body of Christ. That is a packed statement. And you know, He wants to make sinners sons of God. You know, the book of Romans, the title, or a subject of the book of Romans, is to make sinners sons of God. That these sons would constitute the body of Christ. And the body of Christ would be expressed as the many local churches. That's His heart's desire. He wants to get Himself into us. That we would become sinners, become sons of God. Think about that for a minute. The sinners become sons of God. That statement always enthralls me. That sinners become sons of God. I mean, isn't that amazing?
Amen.
I mean, think about it for a minute. Sinners become sons of God.
Amen.
How is this possible?
Amen.
God of the universe had a plan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He makes to make us sons of God.
Amen.
Then we begin to become the churches. Eventually, the body of Christ to become the churches, to express Him on the earth, to become His bride, to bring Him back. Isn't this an awesome plan? This is His heart's desire.
Amen.
This is what He wants. This is what makes Him happy.
Amen.
This is His good pleasure.
Amen.
And so this is what we're burdened to impart this week.
Amen.
You know, the revelation of the mystery. The mystery is God's plan. The revelation of the mystery is God's plan to head up all things in Christ by dispensing Himself into us. That's the mystery. That's the vision that once we get up in the morning and call on the Lord, we realize, oh, I need to be with the saints today. We need to be those being built together for the Lord's plan, for the Lord's purpose on the earth. Amen. So all these verses here, I don't really have time, I don't believe, to read them. But let me just read Romans 8:29. Because whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we've been predestinated, saints, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. So, again, you see the matter of life and nature there. So we're the firstborn among... Sorry, He's the firstborn. We're the many brothers.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's read C together. God's good pleasure, which is embodied in His purpose, is in His purpose, His determined intent. Amen. So, the Lord has a purpose, a determined intent. He's determined. You ever come across somebody who's absolutely determined to have it His own way? Well, the Lord is determined to have the universe eventually headed up in Christ according to His plan. He's determined. Nothing's going to stop it. So let's just join in. Right? Nothing's going to stop it. So let's just say amen.
Amen.
Let's say amen, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
I just join with You.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, so He has a determined intent. And so God, you can say God is intense because He has this intention. You know, sometimes ones wonder, why are you so intense? Why are you so intense about what you're doing? But it's because God's intense. You know, he wants this age to end. And when He sees what's happening out there in the world, he's just as sick and upset as we are. So time is getting close, saints. Time is getting close to the end of this age. So the Lord's intense. So we just need to enter into His intention. We don't intenseness and intention. we don't have to be those who stir up ourselves. We don't need to stir up our own intenseness. We just need to enter into the Lord. We just need to call on the Lord, touch the Lord with one another, and realize this God is intense. He's intense about getting His purpose accomplished on the earth today. And that will get us out of bed in the morning to touch the Lord, to be with the saints. Amen, Lord. Amen. So God is has the most determined purpose. In fact, this is why He even made creation. He made creation because He had a plan for man, for man's heart's desire, from His heart's desire to be imparted into man. But God's enemy, our fall, our sinfulness, our stubbornness, cannot stop God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So nothing's going to stop God. Sometimes it seems like He's delayed a little bit, but He's on track. He's got the schedule. Nothing is deterring Him. It may seem He's delayed, but He's not delayed. His birth and crucifixion was as it was prophesied in Daniel. Daniel prophesied the time of the Lord's crucifixion. It was on time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So nothing is delaying the Lord, even though it looks like it. He is getting His desire. So the question is, have you touched the intenseness of the Lord to gain His good pleasure? Now we need to really consider. We need to be those really who are intense. But sometimes among our college students of this age, because of all the distractions of this age, the intenseness is not there all the time, not there regularly. Sometimes at a conference you get a kind of the intenseness comes back. That's why we need to be the partners. We need to be with one another. We need to pray, Lord, I want to be as intense as You're intense. Lord, You want to finish this age. Lord, I want to be intense like You are.
Amen.
You know, I do get an opportunity to go other places, other countries at times. I'll just mention two of them that I've been been to. One of them is Pakistan. And when we go there, the Christians live in Christian communities. So we go, they have Christian on their ID card. So you know who they are. And it's totally legal to spend time with them. But my point is, they are intense. Soon as they touch the ministry,
wow,
they're excited. In 3 months in one city, Two laboring families raised up three home meetings of about 12 to 13 in each home meeting. Grandparents, parents, young people. We went there and they were just exercising their spirit over the ministry. It's amazing. There's One brother and his wife was touched recently. They went to a meeting. It was in a dark, dirty basement. See how beautiful this place is? This is in a dark, dirty basement. I've been in that basement. I know exactly what it looks like. It's a dark, damp, dirty basement. And they went to this ministry meeting that was on just on a little bit about a perfecting training that they had had. And they got touched by the ministry. And a couple months later, they said, "You can use our house for your meeting hall." So they gave them the second floor of their house for the meeting hall. Now, that sounds awesome, but there's more to the story. They're very quickly, because they knock on doors all the time in this city, they outgrew the second floor. So the family said, "Well, we'll knock out the walls on the second floor and move up to the third floor, which is smaller, and give you the second floor to meet on." It's amazing. And I've been in that house and I've seen the walls knocked down. It's amazing. This is intense, okay? This is the intentions of the Lord touching ones, just giving themselves. And there are a lot of stories like this there and in other countries in the world. But when you touch the intentions of the Lord, you just can't help but give yourself to it. In Myanmar, it used to be Burma, we were there for a conference, and we walked up this dirty, dusty road to the full-time training facility in Myanmar. And as we walked up the road in the 100-degree heat, we got into the training facility. In the training facility, there were 60-some young people. No air conditioning, by the way. Loving the Lord, studying. Their living quarters, no air conditioning again, of course. Their living quarters, they live up on a ledge so the snakes don't get them. So they live on a ledge, and each person's sleeping space is about that wide. And they sleep on a mat on a hard surface. So they're intensely loving the Lord. So I just want to share this little bit let you realize we don't know how good we have it. You know, we have this beautiful facility, and we complain about little things. Yeah. And there's parts of the world you have to sleep on a ledge on a small mat just to keep the snakes away. So that's just a couple of things to help us realize that we need to be those who are intense before the Lord. The Lord wants to come back. He wants to use the young people in this country to spread. Maybe one more place I was recently was Germany, and spending some time with some of the refugees. And we met one Christian brother walked from Iran to Germany. He walked from Iran to Germany. Now look it up on the map. And why? Because his parents kicked him out of his house because he became a Christian. He became a Christian, his parents kicked him out of his house, and he walked from Iran to Germany. And there are many just like that in Germany who are coming to get saved who love the Lord. So brothers and sisters, there are places in the world where this intenseness truly is taking hold. So we need to be before the Lord. Lord, I want your intenseness to touch me.
Amen.
I don't want to be a lackadaisical Christian. I don't want to be a sloppy Christian.
Amen.
I want to be a Christian full of the intensity.
Amen.
You have an intent, Lord.
Amen.
And your intent is to finish this age, to get your bride.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's just declare, Lord, I want to touch your intensity. Lord, I want to touch your intensity. Another declaration. Lord, pour your intensity into my being. Lord, pour your intensity into my being. Amen. Okay, let's read D. Based on his good pleasure, will, and purpose, God made a plan, an economy, a household arrangement, an arrangement to dispense and work himself into his chosen ones. I already fellowshiped a good bit about this point and the meaning of the word oikonomia and how it means the household administration. Also, it relates to pasture, which is related to food. So, one of the ways to translate this word is dispense. So, when you see the word dispense in the word, you realize its root is oikonomia. Now, there's another way this word is translated, which is stewardship. So, if we are those who are enjoying the Lord's dispensing into us, we become the stewards to dispense him out to others. So we gain the dispensing, we become the stewards to dispense him out. This is how the Lord fulfills his economy. In the U.S. economy, you have trucks and trains going all over the place distributing the goods. In God's economy, we're the trucks and the trains. We go all over the place distributing the goods. So we need to be those that are entering into the Lord's stewardship, so that we regularly are dispensing his riches to others. And this way the Lord's purpose is fulfilled. So our stewardship comes from our enjoying the dispensing. So if you want to enter into the stewardship, enjoy the dispensing. How many of you here have enjoyed the stewardship of dispensing the gospel into others? Raise your hand if you enjoyed that. Amen. If you haven't, you'll get an opportunity this week. But there's nothing sweeter than having someone pray to receive the Lord. It's just the sweetest taste you can imagine. When you pray and someone says, just praise. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I take you as my Lord and Savior. Just simple prayers that we lead someone to the Lord. And this makes a difference. We become a steward now. We've enjoyed the dispensing. We've been a steward. Amen. Amen. So, as we spend time with the Lord, he eventually compels us. We eventually become compelled to dispense this life into others. We just can't hold it in. We want to dispense it. We want to dispense it to others. And I'll tell you a little story. I don't do this anymore. But a few of you have heard this example, but I think a lot of you have not. But I was doing a consulting job in Shenzhen, China, back in 2003. And I was working with another company trying to put together a joint venture to have a consulting group in China. And we were having a meeting one evening, and I was meeting, and someone, a brother who knew statistics and marketing and was a brother, was translating for me. And so we were talking about the business plan, and then we had a break for dinner. We went down to a private dining room, and the brother was sitting on one side of me, the CEO of the organization was sitting on the other side, and then his staff was sitting around. As we were just talking about the business, someone across the table from me said, what's it mean to be a Christian? Well, that was an unexpected question, right? So, here comes the stewardship. So, unexpected question, in the middle of a business meeting, talking about the business plan and how we're going to make lots of money, right? Eventually, the Lord shut that whole thing down. But anyway, he asked the question, what's it mean to be a Christian? So I started answering. And Kevin, the brother next to me, was translating. And we would go back and forth a little bit. And then all of a sudden, someone change the topic. We've been on for several minutes, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. Someone changed the topic, and I thought, well, that takes care of that opportunity. But enough dispensing had gotten into him that he brought the topic back again. And as we were talking, I just said to him, there's no other name given under heaven among man but the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And he prayed to receive the Lord. Right in front of his friends. In front of his co-workers who were all partners in the company. And he prayed to receive the Lord. You know, I prayed, Kevin translated, he prayed. I prayed, Kevin translated, he prayed. And the next day he was so happy and smiling when I saw him. But the point is, we're stewards.
Amen.
And you never know where you will get an opportunity or there's a need to exercise your stewardship.
Amen.
That's why you need to be ready in the morning. Actually, I had a practice. I would get up early in the morning a lot of times, and I was preparing for the statistics message for the day. I have the hymnal in my computer, the MP, you know, the CD in the computer. I'd be listening to the hymns and studying statistics at the same time. And so the Lord took care. We just need to keep our spirit exercised no matter what we're doing.
Amen.
And just another example. I also did a lot of work in Korea for a period of time. And so, that was all done through translation. And I would basically spend the whole week giving statistics training to either to management or engineers for the most part. And so I'd rattle off a statistics phrase, and then while the translator was translating, I would just call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Quietly, of course. So as at the end of the week, I had worshipped the Lord in my spirit the whole week, and they got a whole week of statistics. They were happy. I was happy. The Lord was happy. The point is, you can call on the Lord anytime, anywhere, any way. We need to find ways, saints, to keep our spirit exercised,
Amen.
To stay one with the triune God,
Amen.
To be in the intensity that he is in.
Amen.
Amen. So he has a good pleasure of his will to dispense and work himself into his chosen ones, that we would be the dispensing ones in his economy. And we would have the stewardship. Okay, let's read Romans 2. Ephesians 1 reveals that the hidden mystery in God's eternal economy is that God desires to head up all things in Christ through the church.
Amen.
Amen. God desires to head up all things in Christ through the church. And it's through the dispensing that this happens. Let's read A. God's internal intention is to head up all things in Christ, who has been appointed to be the universal head. Amen. So, the dispensing of God really brings in the headship of Christ. And the headship, this world, this age, basically, there's no order anymore. It's full of confusion. It's full of darkness. It's full of sin. But the dispensing comes into us and heads us up. And as it heads us up, then it takes care of all the death, the darkness that's in us and around us. And so there's no remaining death, no remaining confusion, no remaining darkness. But it involves, but the Lord is restoring. But the restoring comes through dispensing. And so we need to be those that are all the time exercised before the Lord that he would have him dispense himself into us. So we need to cry out, Lord, dispense yourself into me. It's the calling on the Lord. All the life practices, the getting up in the morning early, that give us the dispensing that then it will just take care of all the darkness and deadness that is in our being. And the Lord would begin to get the good pleasure of his will. Let's read B together. God has blessed us, chosen us, predestinated redeemed and filled us and fixed us for the purpose of heading all things in Christ. Look at these words: predestinated, redeemed, forgiven, graced. Why? To head up all things in Christ. That's the reason. That's the reason. And again, verse 10. Under the 1:10, under the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him. So that verse 10, follows all these phrases: predestinated, redeemed, forgiven, graced, in those Ephesians 1:3-10. So that's why we can say God's purpose for predestinating, redeeming, forgiving, gracing us is for heading up all things in Christ. Now, so we need to be those fully enjoying the Lord's grace. Amen. You need to know, Lord, I want to enjoy Your grace day by day. And grace is really, it really is the enjoyment, is God enjoyed. We don't have time to go into the verses to show that. But grace is God enjoyed by us. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses. Grace and reality. Grace is gives us the ability to fulfill what God demands through God. So the Christ in us fulfills the demands of God. The law makes demands. We can't fulfill them. But the grace in us does. Amen. And it's the enjoyment of the Lord. So we need to be those enjoying the grace of the Lord day by day. Amen. And for the purpose, not just for our happiness. When you enjoy the Lord's grace, do you get happy? Yes, you do. But if that's the reason we're going for the Lord's grace, we're pretty short. And the Lord in His faithfulness will, just like the seeker in the Song of Songs, at one point, actually at several points, but I'm just thinking of one of them, she was behind a lattice and the Lord's out there dancing on the hills. You know, so if we start taking the Lord's grace and enjoyment for our own purposes, all of a sudden He'll go out skipping on the hills and we'll say, Lord, where did You go? And we'll go through many experiences like that in our Christian life. That, you know, we think we've found it, or we think we've made it, then the Lord all of a sudden is out dancing around and realize, oh, I need to pursue Him again. I need to pursue and go after the Lord again. So don't go after the grace just for the enjoyment's sake. But go after the grace for the Lord's purpose, for the revelation of the mystery. Amen. That's why we need to go after the Lord's grace. So He can get what He wants to head up all things in Christ. Now, in Ephesians 1:19-22, I'm going to read those verses. What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the operation of the might of His strength, which He caused to operate in raising Him from among the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So, and I need to read verse 18. That's that's also an important verse here. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So His inheritance in the saints is this fourfold power I just read about. And what is this? It's the surpassing greatness of his power toward us. So His power is toward us. So, do you think you have within you the capacity just to say, Amen, Lord, all the time? Amen, Lord, I want You. Actually, we don't, right? But we have this fourfold power operating in us. Amen. We can tap into it. And the purpose of this fourfold power is to transform us that we become Him in life and nature. We will become His sons. So it's the resurrection power, the ascending power, the overruling power, and the subduing power. Those four powers: resurrection, ascension, overruling, and subduing. And that's the power that's in us. So we can have the resurrection power in us day by day, enjoying and heading us up. That's how we get headed up. We can't get headed up by ourselves. But we can get headed up by enjoying our Lord.
Amen.
Enjoying Him in this fourfold power.
Amen.
Amen. So, who here feels you need the fourfold power to be headed up?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who here has access to the fourfold power to be headed up?
Amen.
Amen. Who here is going to lay hold of this fourfold power to be headed up?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We're going to lay hold of this fourfold power. It's the Lord's gift to us so that He can accomplish His purpose, which is to subdue the earth, to His purpose, to redeem man, that man could become His bride, the body of Christ, that we would become His vessels on the earth. So to head up all things in Christ through the church. Amen. Okay, let's read Romans 3. Satan's goal is to corrupt God's creation, to cause confusion, and to cause the universe to become a heap of collapse. You know, this is our situation. Usually in the morning, you wake up, you sometimes feel like a heap of collapse, right? Just being honest. But there's one in us, hallelujah, that has resurrected us out of the heap of collapse. But when we look at this age, it is truly just collapsed. In the old creation, Romans 8:19-23, just shows that the old creation is subject to the corruption of man's fall. So man fell, the old creation is subject to the corruption of man's fall. And this is why it's just a heap of collapse. If I was to cut off one of my legs, I could still stand here on the other leg, right? If I could cut off an arm, I'd still have another arm. What would happen if I cut off my head? I'd fall, right? I'd go right down. So be headed up means we have a head. Hallelujah! We have a head. It's Christ. So we need to be those headed up in Christ. But the heading up comes through our enjoying the grace in the dispensing. When it takes us out of the heap of collapse that Satan has brought into this age. Okay, let's read A together. When Satan injected himself into man, Satan became death and darkness to man. Death brings in darkness, and darkness brings in confusion. So Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, thus death passed on to all men because all have sinned. Not a very enjoyable verse, is it? But a very real verse, very true verse. We inherited sin from Adam. And when Adam disobeyed God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, basically that corrupted the universe. It corrupted man, it corrupted God's creation, and man was in a situation that he needed the Lord's redemption. So hallelujah, the Lord still loved man because he had an eternal purpose for man. But it took a while. It's still taking a while. We're still part of that while. But the Lord is going to get his goal. Okay, let's read B. The entire heap is a heap of collapse caused by Satan's injecting himself as the factor of death into man's creation. Amen. So Satan injected himself as the factor of death into God's creation. And see, whenever the Lord makes a move, Satan tries to make a move ahead of time. You know, the Lord moves, Satan's right in there to try to do something to damage it. But in the end, he can't. He's going to lose. He's already lost. He was defeated on the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
So what we just need to be those living in His resurrection.
Amen.
Living in His victory. So when our old nature rises up, when the sin nature rises up in us, or our anger or our tempter, or our good nature rises up in us, right? And we try to do good things out of our own good nature, that's just as damaging, but it's much more subtle. So when our nature, when we realize our nature, something in our nature, good or bad, is rising up, we just need to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I turn my heart to you. And that was one of the prayers I learned very early in my Christian life. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Very simple prayer, but it's so effective because it resets you. You know, you're just resetting your focus back on the Lord. And I'll just say, any prayer that starts with the word Lord is a good prayer. Amen. Just say, Lord, I'm having trouble right now. Lord, I'm frustrated. Lord, I love you is a little better. But if we say Lord, and then talk to the Lord, just have a conversation with the Lord, that is so healthy. But every time I say, Lord, I turn my heart to you, it makes a difference. Even though I don't necessarily feel it, or when I say it sometimes, I don't feel like saying it. But see, that's where the vision comes in. The vision comes in, Lord, I turn my heart to you because I know that's where my heart needs to be. It doesn't really feel that way right now, but it needs to be there. So, Lord, I turn it to you. Amen. And that makes the difference. So it's our declaration. It's our declaration. You know, we need to be those living by faith. You know, we enjoy the Lord and we get a happy feeling many times. But many times we need to live by faith and just say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. Amen. And that puts the enemy to shame. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He has to flee. Amen. So, you know, there were two rebellions in the universe. There was first the angelic rebellion led by Lucifer. That was the first rebellion. The second rebellion was man. Satan came in before God and caused man to rebel against God. So that was the second rebellion. So death and darkness has touched creation. And you know, with darkness, there's confusion. And so there's much unrest in the world today. I mean, I lived in the 60s, and there was unrest there. There's a different type of unrest today than there was back then. And you know, the Bible says in the end times there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And also says there'll be like it was in the days of Noah. And if you consider the days of Noah, one of the verses talks about the violence throughout the earth. Yep. So today there's just violence everywhere. Right. It's just violence in the Middle East, yeah. Violence in Europe, violence in the United States, violence in south of the border. It's violence all over the world. And this is just an indication of the Lord's soon return. So the world needs to be headed up in Christ. But the only way that's going to happen is if we're headed up in Christ. Right. And we get headed up in Christ by enjoying the Lord's life. Amen. As we take His life in, that heads us up. That destroys, that injects the antivirus that kills all the germs in us. So we have something in the life of Christ that kills all the negative elements in our being. So we just need to enjoy Him moment by moment, day by day. Amen. So let's read C. God is working to liberate His creation from bondage and bring it into liberty by heading up all things in Christ. Liberty. You know, everybody wants liberty. Real liberty is being freed from the law of sin and death. That's liberty. Being freed from having to sit down at my computer late at night and play some of these silly games or watch some of these silly cartoons. We want liberty from that sort of thing. We want liberty to love the Lord. Because all that stuff is not going to be in the next age. We might as well leave it now. It's not going to help us get there. And it's not going to help our spirit this day and age. So God's salvation is to save us from the heap of collapse, not from the fall. He saved us to save us from the heap of collapse so that we would be enjoy His fourfold power and saved from the heap of collapse. Okay, let's read point four, Romans 4. We all need to be delivered from the heap of collapse and to be up in Christ. Amen. Again. We all need to be delivered from the heap of collapse and headed up in Christ. Amen. So these verses in Colossians, we find them here. The Colossians, oh, I know where I can find them. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 1, 12 and 13, sorry. So these verses, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light, Amen. Who delivered us of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. So the portion of the saints here is really Christ Himself. Referring back to the Old Testament, the portion was the good land. Paul, talking about, delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So this portion, the allotted portion of the saints is Christ. Christ is our portion. The portion of Christ is what delivers us from the heap of collapse. Amen. Okay, let's read A. The collapse of the universe by the rebellion of Satan and the fall of man gives God an excellent opportunity to manifest His wisdom. So the Lord can manifest His wisdom because of the fall of man. Isn't that amazing? Let's read Ephesians 3:10. Yeah. Sorry. So in order that now, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. So again, this is the Lord's plan. This is the revelation of the mystery. Through the church. So man was created to express God so that through the church, God's wisdom could be made known and Satan would be defeated. Amen. So let's read B. God's economy is accomplished through the dispensing of the abundant life supply of the triune God as the life factor to all the members of the church, that they may rise up from the death situation and be attached to the body. Life is the antidote to death. Hallelujah. Anytime you feel death, just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need you. Life is the antidote to death. So anything of death that is touching us, life is the antidote. And let's read C. According to the picture in Ezekiel 37, God's people, portrayed as dead, dry, and disjointed bones, are enlivened by the breath of God, Spirit of God, to become a corporate body formed into an exceedingly great army.
Amen.
Let's read that again. According to the picture in Ezekiel 37, God's people, portrayed as dead, dry, and disjointed bones, are enlivened by the breath of God, the Spirit of God, to become a corporate body formed into an exceedingly great army. Amen. If you remember the picture in Ezekiel 37, there's the valley of bones. And Ezekiel prophesies to them. And they come together with a lot of noise. And sinews are put on them. And the flesh is put on them. And then in verse 10, 37:10, he is told, so I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them. And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So, this is what the Lord is doing today. Many ways where we are or have been at various points in time, dead, dry bones. But He's breathing His life into us as we call on His name, rising us up to be an exceeding great army. delivering us out of the heap of collapse. Amen. In fact, I just need to read the note on this. They lived. It's not that long a note. The revelation in this chapter shows that the unique way to have the body, the church, and the house of God in the genuine oneness is the way of life. Amen. When the breath entered into the dead ones, it became life into them. Amen. And they lived and stood up in oneness to become an exceedingly great army. Amen. The dry bones became one, not by gifts or by teaching, but by life. Amen. The dead bones were enlivened and became one as the issue of the dispensing of life and growth in life. Amen. So if you're following me, I skipped a couple words because it's referring to another parable that we didn't read. So that's why I skipped a few words there, if you were following me. But the life comes in and raises us up in resurrection. Amen. And it dispenses. So do you want to be rescued out of the heap of collapse? Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. So, one. Let's read one together. If we try to be headed up without growing in life, we will fall into organization. The proper heading up is the growing of life. Amen. The proper heading up is the growing of life. So we're headed up by a pleasant dispensation. The Lord's dispensation is a pleasant dispensation. Amen. You know, as we enjoy this dispensation, we're delivered out of many things. You know, we may be totally involved, wrapped up in our work, and forgetting about the dispensing of the triune God. After a period of time, we get dry. All of a sudden, we just start calling on the Lord. Amen. And as we call, we get delivered and released from these things that maybe have overtaken us. Maybe we spend too many hours studying, or too many hours playing games on the computer and going places on the computer and the internet that we shouldn't be going. These are the types of things that kill our spirit. But when we touch the Lord with a pleasant dispensing of the triune God, we get delivered from these things. Amen. So we're not saying, we're just trying to encourage us all to enjoy the pleasant dispensing of the triune God. Amen. This will raise us up out of the heap of collapse and out of the things that distract us from the Lord. You know, a headed up person preaches the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. How many here want to preach the gospel?
Amen.
Enjoy the pleasant dispensing and be headed up. Headed up person comes to the Lord Day meeting full of life.
Amen.
How many here want to be someone who comes to the Lord's Day meeting full of life?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Enjoy the pleasant dispensing and be headed up.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you do not want to stay in bed on Lord's Day morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's try that. Let's do that again. That was good. How many do not want to stay in bed on Lord's Day morning?
Amen.
Amen. Right. We don't want to stay there. There's nothing good there. A headed up person doesn't stay in bed. A headed up person will meet as much as possible with the saints.
Amen.
A headed up person meets with the saints. How many of you want to be a headed up person that meets with the saints?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you come to the meeting, come as someone who's been enlivened by this resurrection life.
Amen.
The life breathed into you. And like the dry bones in Ezekiel make a lot of noise. Okay, those dry bones made a lot of noise when they came together. So let's read 2 and then E together. When we grow in life, we have the light of life. Under this light, everything is kept in order. Amen. Then E. The church life is a life of being headed up. If we do not know what it is to be headed up in Christ, we cannot know what the church is. Amen. So to know the church, we have to be headed up in Christ. We have to have this life enlivening us and heading up our being. Okay. So whenever something comes up that troubles you, just go to the Lord for the dispensing.
Amen.
Just go to the Lord. Okay, let's read Romans 5 together. When the church takes the lead, to be headed up in Christ.
God has a way to
head up all other things. So when the church takes the lead, the Lord can head up all the other things. You know, when we're in the dispensing, others don't bother us. I think we've all had the experience that something or someone was frustrating us, we touched the Lord, and all of a sudden it just evaporated. Right? We've all had that experience. We've all had, also had the experience of not touching the Lord, and it just seems to get worse, right? So we've had it both ways. Which way is sweeter? Touching the Lord, right? So let's just touch the Lord.
Amen.
The sweet way. Amen. Go to the Lord for the dispensing.
Amen.
So when we're in the dispensing then, if we have a problem with someone, this means we're having a problem with the Lord. And we just need to go to Him and say, Lord, I need your dispensing.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read A together. The church is the vessel used by God to solve His problems and to fulfill His purpose, which is to manifest Himself through man by mingling Himself with man. So the Lord wants to manifest Himself through us by mingling Himself with us. And then, let's read B together. Eventually, everybody, head will be the universal head over all things. Amen. The head over all things. And we've read that verse 22 and 23 a number of times. So the Lord will be the universal head over all things. But at first, for him to end this age, to end the chaos that's around us, he needs the church to be headed up in Christ.
Amen.
Headed up all things to the church. Then when the church is headed up, then the universe can be headed up. Because
right.
We share in his headship. Now think about that for a minute. We share in the headship of Christ. Isn't that an awesome thought? That we share in the headship of Christ. So, when we're headed up, in Him, then the whole universe is headed up, so we're sharing in His headship. Okay, let's read C. During the age of the millennium, there will be absolute peace and harmony.
In the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom.
Everything will have been fully rescued out of the heap of collapse. Amen. So, everything will be headed up. In Acts 3:21 talks about being the restoration of all things. All things. Then in Isaiah 2:4, they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. And they won't learn war anymore. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Won't learn war anymore. In Isaiah 11:6, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the young boy will lead them about. Not now, right? But there will be a time. There will be a time in the next age. So we need to be those headed up first. In Isaiah 55:12, the trees of the fields will clap their hands.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The whole, it says in Romans, the creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. Psalm 96, let the field and all that is in it exalt. Then all the trees of the forest will sing with joy. Isn't that amazing? The trees of the forest will sing with joy. Amen. So, but this doesn't happen until the church takes the lead. Then in Revelation 21 and 23, we see the holy city, the new Jerusalem. So let's read D together. In the new heaven and new earth with the new Jerusalem, all things will be headed up in Christ. This will be the complete fulfillment, Ephesians 1:10. Amen. All things. So in Ephesians 21 and 22, you see the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it's a great and high mountain. And on the top of that mountain is the throne of God. And so the living water comes out of the throne of God. So we need to be those who are all the time respecting the Lord's headship, respecting the authority of the Lord. Because if we don't respect the authority of the Lord, all of a sudden the sweet dispensing disappears and he's out there dancing and we're behind the lattice. So we need to be those respecting the throne of the Lord. Because the river of water of life comes out of the throne.
Amen.
So, and on the top, then there is the river of water of life, the dispensing of God in Christ as life to his chosen and redeemed people to head them up in eternity. So in eternity, there's the dispensing and the heading up. Then Revelation 21, 23, and 24. I just want to read, finish by reading these two verses. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon, that they should shine in it. For the glory of God illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Okay, that's the final heading up of the universe. That's what the Lord is, that's the great commission. That's the Lord's great enterprise that we get an opportunity to labor together with him. We're partners with him in this great enterprise. And the end result of this great enterprise is the New Jerusalem, the city of light, that all the nations bring their light, come to that city, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Isn't this awesome?
Amen.
This is what the Lord has called us into.
Amen.
This is what heading up is all about.
Amen.
So, hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.